Barely hear you, James.
I can't hear you, James.
You need to bump up your volume a little bit. Maybe on your mic, if you got a little volume control.
Can you hear now?
That's better.
Better, not so about 80%.
Better. Yeah.
So a lot of the gatherings that we have, they're primarily represented by pastors. And it seems like if you want to have a platform, you really have to have representation from people from all different types of the medical field. I mean, think of like Nehemiah. He was a politician. He was involved with politics. And so we need to have a bigger venue, more inclusive kind of invite to really get people from all different aspects of society, entertainment, music, art, social services, the nonprofit world, all of, there needs to be like an open door for all of these folks to, and within that, those groups are going to be folks of influence that really God has put something on their heart that maybe doesn't look like ministry, but it really has an effect on the hospital that they're the administrator of or whatever. So it just seems like that would really be, you'd have to create a platform like that where it's more inclusive.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I think it's really good, James, as you guys run across people like that, shoot them to me and to Dan, because we want to follow up with them and unite them and bring them into this. But so far, we're all disparate, disparate parts, and we're all separated. But that's been a huge joy of ours to go meet with those people, sit with them, listen to them. We met with a SEAL Team 6 member. That's why we talk about SEAL teams, and all they do is small stuff. And to bring that person into this mix and to teach us how a SEAL team runs and how we do these things, or any of these people that you run across in business or hospital ministry, all this, I mean, we want to know who they are. We want to connect and bring them into this team together as we move through this, James. I think it's an important call, because we may sit here feeling like, what can we do next? Tell us who are you thinking of? Who are the people that you see uniting? And not, they don't have to be labeled pastor name, like some of us had part of our name in our past or maybe currently. It can be any of these leaders that we're talking about. They're in politics. They're on the seven mountains, like Jeff was talking about. That's who we're looking for. We're looking to bring this team together and move together as one body, because that's when this thing gets beautiful, when all of us get to be recognized and get team together and honored like this. I think you're on. This is exactly the right thing, James. So keep bringing those names in, put them in through Ron or through me, whatever you guys want to do, however you want to connect it. But we need to be connected in this way. It's super important.
So I want to ask the question, and again, engage all of you in the meeting and dialogue. Has anyone got any clear nudge of the Holy Spirit, any clear leading toward what this ecclesia leadership group might look like? Doesn't really matter what we call it at this point. I like Ed's language, Ed Savoso, ecclesia, right? It is the governing body, the kingdom governing body. That's really what he's describing. And I call it a CLT. That's my acronym, a city leadership team. But let me open this up. Anyone getting any kind of a clear leading of the Spirit of God, where to go with this? Yeah, Brandon?
So I think one of the things that we all recognize is that biblical leadership is important. It's not important to honor necessarily, or to be focused on how many people you have in your congregation or that kind of thing, but more along the lines of that we do believe that leadership is important. So what I would propose is that those four groups that you outlined, I think you said pastors and business leaders and marketplace ministries, small nonprofits, and then prayer and prophetic. What I would see is that you would appoint within this group maybe two or three like leaders to carry each of those four groups. Someone who's already invested in this team, who's already invested in this movement, but who also can say, listen, I'll carry the load of this one of four areas. I'll spearhead this area, but I can't carry it myself. I need two people to help me carry this. And so then you're getting teams within those four groupings. And then we realize what we're talking about is all of those working together in relation, in humble submission to one, mutual submission out of respect and love for Christ.
That's a brilliant beginning. And I agree. You're suggesting is out of these initial, yourselves included, but maybe some others who just weren't able to be in this meeting, select maybe at least two, maybe three or four individuals that represent each of those four cultures.
Yeah. And I think it's real, it's biblical to say, hey, the body of Christ recognizes that you have a calling on your life and a gifting to lead this. It's not to say that reality is the priesthood of all believers, I believe in. But there are some people, like, you know, when you mentioned Taj, just the way he speaks, his vocal ability, okay, we acknowledge that's a gift, you know, or someone who's been leading prayer movements for a long time. And they're, you know, I think of Ron, you know, he's been championing, bringing people together for a long time. So we understand their unique giftedness to this leadership team. And we're honoring them based on their giftness and their gift and their function, not on some position.
Yep. Well said. Well said. Anyone else? Anyone? Mark, unmute yourself.
You're muted, Mark. You're muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Can you hear me now? The only thing I'd just add to what Brandon says, I think this is going to be a transitional phase of developing leadership. The first stage might be just doing a building up of leaders within the group, like you said, whether here or not here, of people we know. But I think in the defining of that thing, I think these should be hopefully proven people of character over time, because the biggest thing that can destroy this group of leadership real quick is someone that has an issue of honesty or integrity or character, or sexuality, whatever it might be, can destroy a whole body of, that person could destroy the whole concept of what we're trying to do of a godly group of people you can look up to that points us to Christ, right? So anyways, I think the main thing is the first, that's one of the first stages. So whoever is brought up should be a proven person over time, that people who are known and who are open and vulnerable to hopefully more than one person. Everybody should have an accountability partner. You know, we didn't know about Jesus's temptation unless Jesus told us about his temptations, right? He shared those things. We knew about Peter and his problems because it was shared. You know, we all here in this grouping, woman or man, have our weak areas. This group, on my point, I'm drilling down, just making sure this group of body of the first generation, we'll call it, of these leaders should be proven men of character and integrity over time.
Yeah.
Second thing, point I want to make is that this group over time to be one that to be uplifted by a larger group of marketplace, local ministries and churches should be one that will hopefully be raised up, elected and appointed. I mean, names could be suggested, but hopefully voted upon or something like that. I'm not sure the exact process. And this is Tom, your history will be important. But somehow, if everybody approves certain leaders, you have to have a unanimous vote. But these, like Peter lifted up, said, yeah, Tom's a man of a character integrity, and by and large, majority of churches and marketplace ministries in this area approve of him. Yeah, we like to have him as one of our godly elders of our area. So anyways, that's where I say at some point, because then if you vote for somebody, whether it's political or spiritual leader, there's a buy-in. That's all I'm saying. So you may have some improvements on the two ideas I came up with, but those are the two quick things that came up with after Ben shared that.
Yeah, that's excellent. Excellent. I agree, Mark. I think we're looking at elder, you know, qualifiers for character of eldership.
Right.
Yep.
I'd like to encourage Tom to have you meet with the Marketplace Meets Mission group, of which I'm part of. And it's a small group of leaders. The president, Dick Renard, has been acknowledged by the pastors of Salinas as the apostle of Salinas. But the board consists of people from Santa Cruz as well as Salinas, and we're actually at a place of wanting to expand the leadership board to represent better our entire region. And so it's already established as a 501c3 that is able to support other ministries when people want to start a small nonprofit, but they don't have their own 501c3 yet. They can come under our covering, and we can mentor them. And Taj and his group was part of that. So we've got, you know, so there's something already set up that could grow. One thing that we lack is having the young people that can really run with setting up the, developing the website and doing some of the other things that, you know, most of us we want to include more of the next generation, because most of us are 60 and 70. And so, you know, that's a dream. It's already established. The leadership is already proven and well known in Monterey and Santa Cruz, Salinas area.
You know, Lori, as you're sharing, this is an important consideration, is to consider geography. Okay, what is your geography? Like, the question is, who are we? How do you define we? You know, is it a city? Is it one county? I'm hearing multiple counties right here. How many counties are kind of in the conversation? Taj, like two, three?
Three at least.
There's three at least. Yeah, there's Monterey and Santa Cruz are kind of the main ones that I'm seeing here. But then we touch surrounding counties too that run up into the Bay Area, which is Santa Clara, where Ed Silvoso and all those guys are from. So we there's an influence with the two main counties that you're talking about here.
Yeah, because I know years back, this goes back 20 years, Ed's vision, Pray the Bay.
Yeah.
Right. I'm familiar with the history. I'm familiar with the narrative, Pray the Bay. And I thought at the time, wow, that's too broad.
Yeah.
And now there's the TBC, Transforming the Bay for Christ, with Pat Gelsinger, Palau's involved in that. So that's another broad movement. Nancy Ortberg John Talbert. So I know those folks. But you need at some point, when you're talking leadership, to define your geography. What can we lead? Who are we leaders of, is really the question. And who's going to look to us or respond to us as voices, in a sense, for a way forward for building the kingdom together? And you don't want to get so broad that it gets scattered, but you want to be realistic with who you're identifying. Let me share a model. And this man would be a resource for you. I mentioned Gary Schmitz in Kansas City. Amazing man, humble man. He sowed his life into the other leaders of Kansas City. African-American leaders, Latinos, men, women. Now, this is what he came up with. Kansas City is obviously the urban center, right? That's kind of the main city identity, so to speak. What Gary came up with years ago, he calls them village fires, okay? So let's just kind of consider the analogy. Kansas City is like the bonfire. You've also got IHOP going on there, and that's what I call the furnace. It's like this constant thing, day and night, has been burning for 22 years, right? So that's kind of its own phenomenon. But Kansas City would be like the main bonfire. And what they started, I think, with 4 or 5 years ago were village fires in Johnson City, in Olathe, Lee's Summit. These municipalities that surround urban core Kansas City, they began with 4 or 5. They now have 14 village fires. And there's a leadership team for each of those village fires. You know, what are we doing to grow the kingdom in Lee's Summit? What are we doing in Olathe? What are we doing in Johnson City? Johnson City, very blue collar economically. Olathe, very rich, wealthy, suburban kind of a scenario. So they've got their own leadership that are walking this out locally, but then they connect to the wider vision of we are this collection of municipalities that are walking together, building relationship together. Quite a beautiful model. It's working well. So as I encourage you, as you're looking at this, somebody's got to do some very architectural work by way of design of what's our region and who are we leading, and then who needs to be involved in that. So any thoughts or response to what I'm sharing?
I can think of like Santa Cruz County. It's divided into 5 districts, and each region is a little bit different. Like, we live in the valley area. And so the dynamics and the culture is just different here than, say, Aptos, more the beach cities. And so, I mean, there may be some natural delineations within a county region that are divided by districts. So that's one idea.
Right.
Yeah, I think they're actually